Krishna, Krishna.
Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 24, The Philosophy of Sankhya. And we are reading text 10. Although actually we have to cover text 9 also, which doesn't have a purport. Let me just read it quickly. Maya sanchodita bhava sarve samhatyakarina andham utpadayam asur mamayatanam uttamam. Impelled by me, all these elements combined to function in an orderly fashion, and together gave birth to the universal egg, which is my excellent place of residence. That was text 9, now text 10. Tasmin,
Tasmin,
Aham,
Samabhavam, Samabhavam,
Ande,
Ande,
Salila,
Salila,
Sanstita,
Sanstita,
Mama,
Nabhya,
Nabhya,
Apo,
Abhut,
Padma,
Vishvakya,
Vishvakya,
Tatra,
Tatra,
Chatma,
Chatma,
Bho, Tasminaham samabhavam.
Tasminaham samabhavam.
Ande salila sanstito.
Ande salila sanstito.
Mamana vyamabhut padma.
Mamana vyamabhut padma.
Vishvakyam tatra chatmabhu.
Vishvakyam tatra chatmabhu.
Tasminaham samabhavam.
Tasminaham samabhavam.
Ande salila sanstita.
Ande salila sanstita.
Mamana vyamabhut padma.
Mamana vyamabhut padma.
Vishvakyam tatra chatmabhu.
Vishvakyam tatra chatmabhu.
Tasminaham samabhavam.
Tasminaham samabhavam.
Ande salila sanstita.
Ande salila sanstita.
Mamana vyamabhut padma.
Mamana vyamabhut padma.
Vishvakyam tatra chatmabhu.
Vishvakyam tatra chatmabhu.
I
samabhavam
appeared
ande
in the egg of the universe,
in the egg of the universe.
Salila,
salila
in the water of the causal ocean,
in the water of the causal ocean.
Sanstita,
sanstita
which was situated,
which was situated.
Mama,
mama
my
nabhya,
from the navel,
from the navel.
Abhut
arose.
Padma,
a lotus.
Vishvakya,
Vishvakyam,
known as universal,
known as universal.
Tatra,
Tatra,
in that,
in that.
Cha,
cha,
and
Atmabhu,
Atmabhu, self-born Brahma,
self-born Brahma.
Translation. I myself appeared within that egg, which was floating on the causal water. And from my navel arose the universal lotus, the birthplace of self-born Brahma. Purport. The Supreme Lord here describes his appearance in his transcendental pastime form of Sri Narayan. Lord Narayan enters within the universe, but does not give up his purely transcendental body of knowledge and bliss. Lord Brahma, however, born from the Lord's navel lotus, has a material body. Although Lord Brahma is the most powerful mystic, his body, which pervades all material existence, is material, whereas the body of the Supreme Lord Hari, Narayan, is always transcendental. I'll read both verses again. Maya sanchodita bhava sarve samhatikarina andam utpadayam asur mamayatanam utamam. Impelled by me, all these elements combined to function in an orderly fashion and together gave birth to the universal egg, which is my excellent place of residence. Tasminaham samabhavam ande salila sanstitau mamanabhyam abhut padmam vishvakyam tachachatmabhu. I myself appeared within that egg, which is floating on the causal water, and from my navel arose the universal lotus, the birthplace of self-born Brahma. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasna Bhutale Shiva Bhaktivedanta Swami Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaur Vani Pacharya Nera Vishesha Shunyavadi Pastitya Dishtarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaitadadha Shivasti Gaur Vabhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vajkav Trudhyasthakri Prasindir Vyavacha Vaditanam Bhavare Vyo Vaishnave Vimakona. So this is quite a brief description of the process of material creation, material manifestation. There's more detailed descriptions elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam. But here, particularly, the point is being focused upon, in the purport at least, how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though he appears within this material world, he appears in his transcendental form. And that form is very different from our forms and any of the forms of the conditioned souls, even up to the level of Lord Brahma. And you cannot really go higher than Lord Brahma in terms of conditioned souls, living entities, just living under the conditions of material existence. Lord Brahma is a very special personality compared to practically anybody else, and certainly compared to ourselves. And we are superior in terms of material capability to many other living entities. That Lord Brahma is so much superior to us in terms of everything. Life expectancy, 311 trillion 40 billion of our years, even other than the residence of Brahmaloka, his personal associates, the next level down of living beings is the administrative demigods headed by Lord Indra. And Lord Indra lives for a fraction of the time of Brahma. In Brahma Sahasra Yuga Pariyantam Aharyad Brahmano Vidu, Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, that 1,000 cycles of the four yugas make up a day of Brahma. And Lord Brahma lives for 100 such years, made up of some 365 or so of such days. Lord Indra generally At least it is clear from the Bhagavata that a Lord Indra rules for as long as the lifetime of a Manu. And in a day of Manu, in a day of Brahma, there are 14 Manus in one day of Brahma. And then so many days of Brahma in a year and 100 years. We're talking about, in terms of life expectancy as such, we're talking about a vast superiority on the part of Lord Brahma. Truly vast. Of course, the Indra may live longer than that, but not longer than a day of Brahma and less than a day of Brahma. So, Brahma living for 100 years, even if a living entity lives for a day of Brahma, still Lord Brahma is living 365 times 100 times longer, which is roughly 36,500 times longer if a living entity lives for an entire day of Brahma, which is not really usual.
Times two.
What, 73,000 times? That's in terms of life expectancy, and in terms of potency, well, Lord Brahma's potency may be proportionally greater, certainly is much, much greater than even Lord Indra. So, and what to speak of by our standards, 100 of our years, he lives 311 trillion, 40 billion of our years, Lord Brahma. We live 100 years, and we don't even live 100 years other than a few rare cases who somehow struggle to the point of 100 years. So even if one lives 100 years by our standards, then he lives 3.11 trillion times longer than us. It's just truly extra dimensional. So this is the main point which is being focused on here, that the Lord, as we've read over the last few days, the Lord in different ways manifests the different aspects of the creation. By his glance he injects the living entities, and things go through different stages, and then the universes, according at least to Lord Brahma and Brahma Samhita, the universes come out of the pores of Mahavishnu, enter into the Mahatattva, and then the different ingredients, elements which the Mahatattva is made up of, enter, they are distributed amongst the different universes, and then the Lord, in fact what is being described here actually, Mahavishnu then expands as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu in each of those universes, and then from his lotus navel or navel lotus, from his lotus navel comes the lotus flower, and on top Lord Brahma makes his appearance. And Srila Prabhupada, I was not actually in the room, but I was in the temple, and we heard immediately afterwards when one devotee, actually that same Rabbatanandan, somehow asked Srila Prabhupada that he had heard that all the planets are within the stem of the lotus. And he asked Srila Prabhupada, how could that be? And Srila Prabhupada's response was, how could the living, planets be within the stem of the lotus coming from the navel of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu? That is too much for your puppy brain. So, well, that's truly one of many things which are too much for our puppy brains. And Lord Brahma, really, we have just very simple understanding of Lord Brahma. But Lord Brahma, as a personality, you know, as a living entity in terms of his shaktis, his consciousness, his capabilities, and his interactions and relationships, even our bodies and brains, intelligences and shaktis and so on, are somewhat inconceivable even to ourselves. So what to speak of Lord Brahma? But now here this is saying what to speak of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. This is now a different type of personality altogether. He has appeared within this material world, and he lives within this material world. He stays within the material world by our standards for a long time. But he's not material. He's not part of the material situation. Although the entire material situation, all the living entities, the planetary systems, the whole universe, the whole way everything is put together, is all completely dependent on him. Totally dependent on him. So despite that, he's not at all material, but rather he's referred to here in the purport as Narayan. Of course, it's quite clear from the verse that this is referring to Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, but he's referred to here as Narayan. Well, Narayan is a term which can be applied to different types of different forms of the Supreme Lord. But in this context, he is Narayana. We hear this term Narayan, and we may not really perhaps so much consider what does it mean, what are the implications in terms of who he is and what his part is in the picture. But in this context, he is certainly Narayana, the resting place of the people and actually of all the living entities. That's Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Everyone is completely dependent on him within the universe. And then even on top of that, interesting point in terms of Achintyabhed Abhed Tattva, in this verse and the previous verse and the verse, some other verses we saw, verse 5, the Lord is saying, aham, maya, mama, aham. Aham means I. Maya, by me. Mama, of me. So, this is Krishna speaking. This is Krishna speaking to Uddhava. This is Krishna speaking. It means Krishna, Krishna's Swayam Bhagavan. He's the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Narayan, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and Mahavishnu, and Shiradakshaya Vishnu will perhaps be mentioned as we go on. These are all expanded forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, of the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. In that sense, there's certainly a type of bade, a type of difference. But here, Lord Krishna impressing upon Uddhava in terms of Sankhya Yoga that it is really me behind everything. If you go far enough behind everything, you'll find me, actually me. So, yes, of course this is ultimately Sankhya, as Maharaj was saying yesterday, to enumerate, analyze, count. Sankhya specifically means in that context, in that sense, to count. To separate into different categories, see the categories, count the categories, understand the categories as categories, as different subdivisions, each in their own particular place, in terms of their own particular part in the overall picture. This is Sankhya, actually. And ultimately, Sankhya means that through dividing up everything in this way, in these types of ways, one will come to not just earth, water, fire, and even the senses. It may get a little more complex, the sensory potencies, the sense organs, and, you know, as the picture is broken down, so that may be there, they are parts of the picture, but ultimately one has to find the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and ultimately that means Krishna himself. Really, that is the end of Sankhya, to find Krishna in Vrindavan. And then the perfection of Sankhya is to then surrender to him and become his devotee and become his pure devotee and develop love for him. In Bhagavad Gita, in the 5th chapter, there's some discussion in similar terms, and Srila Prabhupada discusses these two forms of yoga. One is directly bhakti yoga or karma yoga, kam bhakti yoga, and the other is an analytical process of studying and counting and analyzing and all the different components like that. So Srila Prabhupada discusses there in one of the purports that Krishna says these two processes are equal, they are the same. Srila Prabhupada discusses how can they be said to be the same, because one is a matter of finding the Lord through this analysis and like they say, nati, not this, not that, not so many things, but this, a process of negation. So Krishna has said that that process and the process of karma yoga, kam bhakti yoga, they're the same. So Prabhupada discusses that, yes, even though in one sense they appear quite different, really, at least in many important ways, but still they are the same in the sense that a person who is trying to find the root of a tree, means the analyst, the person who's trying to find the root of the tree is equal to the person who is watering the root of the tree, as long as when he finds the root of the tree, he does water the root of the tree. And then you can say, well, it's essentially the same. But if the person who is trying to find the root of the tree, finds it, and thinks that I am the root of the tree, then, well, there you have a significant difference. And this, of course, is one of the major problems in other forms of yoga, that actually other forms of yoga, and for that matter, practically any genuine Vedic process of Dharma in one form or another, they're all processes, even Karma Kandya, demigod worship, and all these types of things. They're all processes which ultimately, if they're practiced properly and followed to the end, then they'll bring a person to devotional service, to bhakti yoga, becoming devotees of the Lord, surrendering to the Lord, and becoming pure devotees of the Lord. This is actually the idea. But of course, if, like those analysts, if they somehow or other reach the root of the tree and realize, ah, there it is, and then they think, oh, it's me, then, well, this is said to be the last snare, the last trap of illusion. You come so far, and then you actually start to realize, get some realization of the Supreme Lord, at least a super soul, but then you think, ah, I've realized myself. So, you know, it's like someone making a long trip. Back in the old days, people would travel, say, from Europe to China, and it was not just a matter of getting on one aeroplane and getting off maybe 10 or 12 hours later and that's it. And it was really a major, major endeavor, like practically a lifetime program, the return trip, if you returned. So, but imagine making such a trip, and finally you reach the end, and just as you reach the end, you just somehow or other, something goes wrong, and maybe you die, or something like that, and the whole thing's wasted. So, yes. But Srila Prabhupada makes the point that at least if the person who follows the process of analysis, if when they do realize the root of the tree of existence, which is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if they then become devotees, then you can say the processes are equal or the same or something along those lines. Otherwise, no. Of course, to take directly to the process of bhakti yoga is much simpler, really much simpler. Trying to find the root of the tree, Srila Prabhupada on a number of occasions gave the example of trying to understand who is your father. The simple way is to ask your mother. But if you ask your mother and she says, well, it's such and such person, but then you feel, no, I shouldn't be satisfied like that, but rather I should try and go into it more seriously. So I will go and interview all the men and ask them, are you my father? In this way I'll track down my father and come to understand who's my father in a, you know, truly objective way, and following a process with real integrity. I mean, why just believe one person? They could tell you anything. So now that's going to be a big process. So the mother is the Vedic literatures in this sense. And that the process of trying to locate your father just by asking so many people, that is actually, Srila Prabhupada really gives that example in the context of just empirical study, just so-called scientific research as it goes on nowadays. But in this context, it can also be applied. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Narayan, Gavarakshaya Vishnu, he is a transcendental personality. He's not a material personality. Even though amongst material personalities, there are material personalities who are so much greater than us that we cannot comprehend how much greater than they are than us. In that sense, they are inconceivable for us in terms of our capacities. Lord Brahma really is inconceivable to us, other than in certain quite basic senses. His power, in the purport, it is mentioned that he is the most powerful mystic, other than the Supreme Lord himself. He's the most powerful mystic. Of course, hearing that, we are reminded of the pastime, the Brahma Vimohana Leela, where Lord Brahma tried to show off his mystical power, and his idea was to humiliate Krishna, actually, because Lord Brahma, watching what was going on there in Vrindavan, Lord Brahma saw how all the devotees, all the Brijvasis, were taking Krishna so seriously and attributing tremendous worth to him. And even sometimes, of course, generally they're under yoga maya, and so generally they would accept him as just one of them, just an exceptionally, uniquely lovable and special member of the community in Vrindavan. But then sometimes, under certain circumstances, they or some of them would go beyond that and start saying that he's the Supreme Lord. Like, seeing him in that type of way. So Lord Brahma didn't appreciate that. And he was thinking, rather, you know, who is that condescending attitude? Who is this Krishna? Basically, he's a nobody. He's a nobody, but somehow these other people who are also not really to be taken very seriously, they think he's really somebody who he's not. So let me just show them that he's not so important, and really show them clearly who is important, who just so happens to be me, Lord Brahma. So Lord Brahma, he stole the cowherd boys and calves. First of all, he stole the calves. And then the cowherd boys and Krishna, they're there enjoying lunch. And then suddenly someone said, hey, what happened to the calves? And of course, the first idea is that occurs to them, they just strayed away. They just sort of somehow or other got attracted to some greener grass on the other side of the hill and something like that, and so they just went off. Of course, the transcendental understanding is that those calves, they would never stray off, because each one of those calves, each one is a great transcendental personality who's descended to this world with Krishna the great devotee of Krishna, and Jiva Goswami makes the point that these calves and the cows, Krishna and the cowherd boys, they never had to herd the cows because the cows would just follow Krishna. Whichever way Krishna went, they'd all go that way. And what to speak of not needing to herd them, you couldn't stop them. You couldn't stop them. Yes. And one problem which arose after that pastime was concluded, which was a year later, and which was an important contributing factor to Krishna then taking out the cows and not just the calves after the Brahma Vimohana Leela, was because the cows had been associating with the replacement calves, who were all forms of Krishna, and had become so attached to Krishna at by the end of the Brahma Vimohana Leela 1 year later, that the cows could not be separated from Krishna. And if Krishna had not been allowed to take the cows out, they would have just broken through the fences and just gone with him anyway. So, but those calves in the Brahma Vimohana Leela, those calves apparently strayed away. But otherwise, they couldn't stray away. They were just too attached to Krishna. Completely too attached to Krishna. So it was the Lord's mystical arrangement, actually. It was the Lord's mystical arrangement. Lord Brahma stole the calves, and then the cowherd boys noticed, and they all, they're in the middle of lunch, and they were all saying that, oh, we must find the calves. How can we go home without the calves? What will our fathers say? Where are the calves? Oh, the calves. Well, about the calves, you know, something happened while we were out there in the fields, and we lost the calves. The fathers, it would not have gone down well. So they became extremely concerned. But Lord Krishna told them, don't worry, you just sit there and have your lunches. You just continue with your lunches. I'll find the calves. Prabhupada makes the point there that this is a display of Krishna's great mercy upon his devotees, because Krishna loves his devotees so much that Krishna thought, you just relax, don't take this trouble, I'll take the trouble. You just sit down, continue eating. I will stop in the middle of my lunch. I will go and solve the problem so that you're not inconvenienced. Just see the mercy of Krishna. So then Krishna went, looked around, didn't find any calves, came back. The cowherd boys were gone also. So Lord Brahma did this, and his idea was just to humiliate Krishna and just emotionally devastate the inhabitants of Vrindavan. That now not only the calves have gone, but all the sons of the families have gone. And Krishna would have to return in the evening alone and be asked by the parents, where are our sons? And then Krishna, they would not have been happy with Krishna. So Lord Brahma tried to do this, to humiliate Krishna, first of all, humiliate him so the inhabitants of Vrindavan wouldn't take him seriously any longer, and to sort of punish the inhabitants of Vrindavan themselves. That how dare you take some person other than me seriously? You must take me seriously. Everybody else is just nobody in particular. So, of course, we all know the story very well. It backfired on Lord Brahma, and he was humiliated. So even despite all his mystical power, all his brain power, and just all his mystical power, there's a description in the 10th canto of how where Lord Brahma speaks to Krishna, I think 14th chapter of the 10th canto, Lord Brahma makes the point that you have so many qualities, more than the grains of sand, more, if I remember correctly, than the flakes of snow, and more than the atoms in the universe. And one of our acharyas makes the point, Lord Brahma knows how many atoms there are. So he's got big brain, and he's got mystical powers to go with it. By our standards, this is just something else altogether. Way beyond the possibility of our conceiving with any clarity. But Lord Krishna made him look like a real, real fool. Murk. Just a complete... like he was ridiculous, actually. And Krishna expanded into all those forms. Lord Brahma came back, having locked them up somewhere, came back to have a laugh. Let's laugh at Krishna now, so-called important person, but look at the situation he's in now. How humorous. He came back and there were the cowherd boys and calves. And then he went back and they were still locked up in the cave. And then he came back and they were still there in Vrindavan. And then in front of his eyes they all transformed into four-armed Vishnu forms. And then he realized, I made a mistake. So then he came, at least he accepted, he came, he offered his obeisances and begged forgiveness like that. But the basic point is that even Lord Brahma, despite his extreme qualifications and potencies compared to ourselves on the material level, but even Lord Brahma appeared, compared to Lord Krishna, even in a relatively not so important amongst all the different types of forms of the Lord and the hierarchies of different forms of the Lord, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is not, relatively speaking, so extremely powerful or important. But still, compared to Lord Brahma, he is just another category of living entity. Supreme Personality of Godhead, eternal, transcendental personality. So like this, Krishna and his expansions, they're in their own category. They're beyond the control of material nature. Rather, material nature and all its functionings are under the control of Krishna and his expansions, particularly in this case, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And the... Krishna, no one can compare to Krishna. Even Lord Brahma cannot compare to Krishna, even at all, actually. Hare Krishna. Some words of wisdom, right? Comment, question.
In the Leela, it was 1 year that Krishna was being there for 1 year.
Right.
The Brahma, one moment.
Yeah. One moment. Time functions differently on different levels. And Brahma's body is constructed, it's material. Like our body, it's earth, water, fire, air, like that. It's what his body is made of. But it's a, like, there are different grades of these things. So his body, like ours, unlike ours, ours wear out, you know, by maximum 100 or so, usually less. His only wears out after trillions, hundreds of trillions of years, because it's a higher grade of the components. They're more like, you know, genuine components in the motor car industry. Don't buy, you know, the cheap components from Korea. Yeah, get the genuine components. He has better grade, but really better grade components in his body. But even like a dog, you know, one dog died the other day. I think we all heard about that on Gaur Purnima. Devotee dog, you know, so to speak. But dogs die. The life expectancy of a dog is, you know, like pretty much maximum 15 years. And, you know, by the time they're over 10, they've got grey hairs and they're really showing the signs of age. It's because the components are made of a lower grade of matter. That it's still earth, water, fire, air and ether, what our bodies are made of, but they're just, it's like a lower grade of component. Lord Brahma's grade of component is much, much higher. But he still dies. And he cannot do anything about it, actually.
We perceive our 100 years, of, you know, for our lifespan to be whatever it is, it goes so fast. But as Lord Brahma, who's living 311 trillion years, is he seeing it as 311 trillion years, or he's seeing it as his 100 years?
He's seeing it as 100 years.
He's not.
Who was it who went there?
Maharaj Revita.
Right, that's right. Revita, father of Revita. He went there and he was just waiting. I think there was some performance going on. He didn't want to interrupt, he had to wait until the performance ended. And then he approached Lord Brahma for a husband for his daughter. And, you know, and Lord Brahma laughed and said, all the potential candidates that you've been thinking of, they all died already long time ago. Because, you know, you came here, you entered into this environment, you're still living. But in this matter of however many minutes, while the performance went on, during that period of time, on Earth, you know, however many hundreds, thousands of years have passed, they've all gone. But then he said that actually your daughter can marry Lord Balaram. So yeah, he experiences it to be 100 years. It's not like Prabhupada said, because Krishna appears in the middle of Brahma's day, 7th Manu, out of 14. So in the middle of Brahma's day, Prabhupada said, it is now Lord Brahma's lunchtime. So it's not like Lord Brahma is waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for lunch. But lunchtime comes and goes. Even someone raised the question, I don't know, you know, it's an interesting question, that flies, a fly lands on you, try and swat it away, try and actually hit it, it's not so easy. They're gone usually before you can get your hand to them, usually. So someone suggested it's because they're on a lower level, and for them 100 years is passing in however many, I don't know how long they may live, days, weeks, months, I don't know what it is. But for them it's 100 years. So our hand coming down to hit them, for them is like real slow motion, so they can just escape. Anyway, that's not necessarily totally authentic, but someone definitely suggested that, because they're fast. I remember having, when I first went to India in 76, mosquitoes were biting, and almost every bite would turn into a wound which would open and develop a scab, and the flies would come and do their thing. And so life became a process of either, you know, trying to keep these things covered, or it became a process of swatting them away. And they would go, but they would be back within 2 seconds. Or like Siberian mosquitoes. You haven't met a mosquito until you've met a Siberian mosquito. You're walking through the forest and then they're there. You try and swat them away, they're gone. For before you've finished the swat movement, they're back. It's amazing. And they're big. They're big and they're really voracious. We went for a walk, we discovered this by going for a walk in the forest. We were waiting for an aeroplane. We went to walk in a nearby forest and it was full of mosquitoes. It became a major food for life program for the mosquitoes. Wow, what was that? But you swap them away there.
Mosquito repellent? Does it work?
Yeah, it works to some degree. Peaceful sleep.
Maharaj, you were saying like Lord Brahma, and they are so intelligent and superior to us in so many respects.
Right.
But then we also hear that the demigods are waiting in line to take birth as devotees.
Yeah, so it's not so they can become intelligent and powerful.
Devotee is more like superior in a sense, because they want to become devotees.
Well, yes, ultimately. But in terms of material power, this is what we're talking about here. Yeah, the demigods are queuing up to become devotees. In Kali Yuga, well, the Bhagavatam says to take birth in Bharat Varsha, because, and even in Kali Yuga, because it's so much faster to become Krishna conscious. And now Lord Chaitanya has appeared, so the process is,
is extremely powerful. So it's a really opportune time. And, you know, a devotee, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I would rather live as an ant in the house of a devotee rather than to live as a Lord Brahma who is not a devotee. Yeah. So, you know, devotee is special position, it's a transcendental position. Here we're talking about life expectancy, material power, mystical power. Mataji.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. I don't know really much about Lord Brahma, but two questions came to mind. One thing is, and for instance, we're in our body, but there's so much going on that we're not aware of. So I was wondering if that's the same for Lord Brahma. You said that he was all pervasive in the material, this universe, that he's.
I didn't say he's all pervasive.
What you said he was.
He knows how many atoms there are.
Earlier on the.
It's in the purple circle. In the few verses.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so I was just wondering if a whole lot of stuff is going on that he's not aware of. And the other thing I was wondering is, does he have like a boyhood, a youth, a middle age, and all that?
Well,
old age?
It would appear. I've not come across any statements which say that he doesn't go through, you know, first of all he's born from the Lord. I couldn't say, you know, clearly. But from the understanding we're given in general and like repeatedly about life in the material world, we would expect he goes through some sort of process. Although in the beginning, he's competent enough. He's not just like a little child who's all, you know, incompetent. Right in the beginning of his life, he's competent enough to bring about the creation. But then, you know, if his body doesn't go through a process of change towards old age, why would he die? If his body is just constantly the same, why would he die? So it would appear, because he has a material body, it would appear that there has to be in some way or another a process of aging that goes on.
So at the moment it's his lunchtime, but how old is he?
Somehow I got the impression he's in the middle of his life somewhere. Can't remember exactly where I got it from. Yeah, sort of middle age, 50-ish or whatever it may be. I can't remember exactly where I got that from.
Yeah, I understand.
Hmm.
Especially around this time with the Rath Yatra coming up, I remember the story I heard about him one morning. He didn't want to get out of bed because he was so fed up with his creation, and he was complaining that, you know, whatever I create, there's always problems. And then the Lord, you know, through the story, it ends up with the Lord says he will come as Lord Jagannath, and then we ever see the Jagannath will be able to.
I'm not familiar with that one.
You don't know that story? Oh, I've got it on a disc somewhere, but I get my stuff from Cape Town, I'll play it for
you. Okay. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.